Give me thy vision. What a wonderful, powerful piece of music. Thank you very much. Like yesterday, I would like to bring you greetings from Elder Wilson, who is really pleased that you have chosen as a motto of the camp meeting, total member involvement. It's very interesting to see and observe how around the world church members are getting involved. And it is only when we are all together witnessing for Christ that we can accomplish the mission given to us. And today we will speak about the Great Commission. And we will study it in the context, starting with chapter 27, and we'll go through till the end, till the actual Great Commission. But before we open the Word of God, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, as we open your Word, your Holy Word, we ask you to speak to us. May your message touch our hearts, our minds, and transform us. And we will give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us open the Gospel of Matthew. Our scripture reading was already read, but we will start from chapter 27, verse 57. You know, when Matthew wrote, he didn't divide the Gospels in chapters and verses. It was done much later for us, you know, to be able to find what we are looking for. But it's very helpful to read it in a wider context. It will really show the beauty of the Word of God and give us a deep meaning of it. And so verse 57 states, "And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given over to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away." You know the story. All left Jesus. All have forsaken him. His closest friends, his closest disciples were gone. Some betrayed him. Some even stated several times, "We don't know him." They ran away. They are now hiding, trying to protect themselves, experiencing depression and fear. But here comes a hidden disciple, Joseph, and he gives the best he has, his own tomb for Jesus. But Matthew writes it in a very interesting way. He says he came, he asked for the body was given him, then he put the body in a clean new linen and put it in his own new tomb. But then Matthew adds, "And he went away." Now when we look at verse 61, the following verse, it starts very interesting. Unfortunately, not all translators are really bringing it out. But the Greek has a very interesting preposition in the beginning, which is best translated with the English word "but." So keep in mind, Joseph did the best he could and he went away. But, Matthew says, but Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Can you imagine? We men, usually when we do big things, we do them and we are gone. This is in the family. We do big things and we think we have done our assignment. But the two ladies, they could not leave the one they loved so much. They were the last ones to leave the Golgotha scene. They were there at the cross when everyone else left and has forsaken Jesus. But they were there. And now when Jesus was already in a grave, in a tomb, they couldn't go away. They were there, sitting opposite the grave, as close as possible to Jesus, even to a dead Jesus. But they wanted to be close to the one they loved. And then Matthew continues and says, now, verse 62, now on the next day, and then Matthew has a burden. He wants everyone to know exactly what day it was. And so he says, and now on the next day, which is the one after the preparation day. So what day was it? Exactly. The day after the preparation day. Matthew could just simply say Sabbath. But he wanted, you know, for us to pay attention. So he uses this very interesting expression so that we understand it really means something. And so he says, and now at the next day, which is the one after the preparation. And then he starts chapter 28 with words, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, these two Marys are again the first, again there at the tomb. So you see, for Matthew, it was very important to show now was the Sabbath. And look how masterfully Matthew describes and compares Jesus with the chief priest and Pharisees. Now on the next day, which is the day after the preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. So on Sabbath, they called an executive committee. Can you imagine? The chief priest and the Pharisees, the ones who have accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. And now Matthew says, Jesus is in the grave resting on the Sabbath day. But the chief priest and the Pharisees, they are working. They have called an executive committee together. And now they are deciding. And look what they are doing on Sabbath, on the holy day. And they said to Pilate, sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver. Can you imagine? You can be a high priest. You can be a scholar, a Pharisee. You can be a chief priest. And you can call God a deceiver. Now we remember. Now what is very interesting, the disciples did not remember it. But the chief priests, they remembered it. And they said, he said, after 3 days I am to rise again. Therefore, they asking Pilate, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first. Now Pilate, next verse tells us, said to them, he knew also that it was Sabbath. He said, you have a guard. Go make it as secure as you know how. You go and you work on Sabbath. And look what they did on Sabbath. Verse 66. And they went and made the grave secure on Sabbath. And along with the guards, they set a seal on a stone. Now, dear friends, this phrase is very significant. They put a seal on a stone. We will see in chapter 28, the stone will again play an important role. But now there is a seal on the stone. The seal on the stone is a symbol of human power. It is a symbol of satanic power. Can you imagine? They thought that the seal will keep our Savior in the tomb. Can you imagine? They thought that the seal will keep the Creator of the universe in the tomb. They put a seal on the tomb. I would like to speak to the young people who are here today. You know, it is so that life, as it often is said, is not fair. Because the most important decisions in your life you make when you are inexperienced. It is when you are in the young age that you make the most crucial, important decisions of your life. It is when you choose your spouse. It is when you choose your profession and everything, when you are young, inexperienced, and Satan is trying to lock you to attract you to a wrong way of life. And he is in the business of putting seals on our brains. He's in the business of putting seals on our lives. And if we fell into a temptation, he seals us and he tells us, "You are mine." A seal on a stone. But look how Matthew continues the story. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon the stone. Now, dear friends, there are two options. Either there is a seal on a stone, or there is another option, an angel sitting on a stone. Now, what do you choose? Young people, doesn't matter how many seals Satan has already put on your brains, on your life. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you have already done. The angel of the Lord is still powerful to break all the seals. And he is willing to sit on a stone of your life. The choice is yours. What would you choose? A seal on a stone, or an angel sitting on a stone? And then Matthew continues and says, and his appearance of the angel was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. The power of the one sent by the Lord. And an angel answered and said to these two women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here." Now, usually when you visit a cemetery, you never hear this kind of a response. Because the one you have buried is there. You know, the people who are in the graves are the most faithful citizens of their countries. They don't immigrate. They are there. But now the angel says, the one you are looking is not there. And then he continues and he says, he is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Now, what is very interesting here, the two ladies came to the grave, and the angel of the Lord tells them, you know what? Look, the seals are already broken. The stone is rolled away. Look, I am sitting, says the angel, on the stone. And the one you are looking is not here because he has risen, like he said. It could be enough. But the angel said the following. He said, come, see the place where he was lying. And then after you have seen an empty tomb with your own eyes, then he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. You know, you can never share things you have not experienced. Even if you have heard it, it's not enough. You know, the angel could have said, I tell you, he has risen, now go. No, no. He said, your eyes need to see an empty tomb. You need to experience it first. And after you have seen it, then he says, go, and how go? Slowly or quickly? Quickly. And this is why I think he sent the ladies and not men. Because men are usually walking much slower. You know, in some cultures, I will not betray the country that I visited not long ago, but in this country, the way you walk really shows who you are. If you walk fast, it means you are a servant. If you walk slow, it means you are a leader. But if you walk very slow, then you are a big leader. And so we were among a pastors, and the leader was walking. Very slow. I ask myself, why the Lord has asked Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to do it and not the man? Because we are much slower. And he asked the lady, he says, now go, and go how? Quickly. Now the big question is, why are the urgency? They have been already a third day hiding in bushes, so to speak. They could have waited a couple of hours more. Why the urgency? And here Matthew is trying somehow to open the heart of God, to show us the character of God. And we will see it as we go through the chapter. But the urgency is because the Lord doesn't want even those who betrayed him to stay in a state of desperation and confusion even one more second. And so he says, ladies, you have seen now with your own eyes the empty tomb. The Lord has risen. Now go quickly and tell it the disciples. I don't want them to stay in disappointment one more minute. Go quickly. And look how the ladies behaved. It's amazing. And they departed quickly, verse 8, from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. Do you see? They ask The angel asked the ladies to go quickly, and how they walked? They were running, not going, and not going fast. They were running. And because they were running, now verse 9 tells us Jesus personally met them. Because Jesus knows it's even not enough to see the empty tomb. You need to personally meet the risen Christ. Only then you will be on fire and will be involved in total member involvement. You have to see it with your eyes, and you have to experience Jesus Christ personally. I ask myself, if the ladies would walk slowly, would Jesus appear personally to them? I think it is because they were running. They were doing even more than the angel expected from them. They were running. And Jesus decided he couldn't oversee it. He personally met with them. And now look what Jesus is telling them. Then Jesus said to them, verse 9 first, and behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now you have noticed probably that the angel told them, go quickly, and Jesus just said, simply, go. Why does Jesus limit his command just to one word, go, and doesn't say, go quickly? Why? What do you think? Because they were running. Because they were doing more than expected. They were running, and Jesus knew he doesn't need to tell them again because they're already running. And he said, go. And he knew they will run. And now the most striking of all things, he tells these two ladies, go to the disciples. And he calls them in a very interesting and unique way. And he says, go and tell whom? My brethren. You know that nowhere in scriptures, never, Jesus called his disciples my brethren. And now as they have forsaken Christ, as they have rejected him, as they left him alone, they couldn't even pray for him for a few minutes in the Garden of Gethsemane. After they have disappointed Christ, they run away. Now they are hiding. And Jesus says to them, you are my brothers. Can you imagine? Instead of rebuking them, he says, you are still my brothers. The first time he uses this expression, you are my sister, you are my brother. Dear friends, I don't know what is going on in your lives. I don't know how far away you have run away from Christ. But whatever happened in your life, in your families, please remember, Jesus is sending to you his own messengers. And he says, calls you my brothers, my sisters. In spite of all your mistakes, even if you have forsaken Christ, he is not even rebuking you and says, you are still my brother. You are still my sister. Because now, once he has become a human and will remain throughout eternity as a human, he can call himself our true brother and sister. Go and tell. Now, what is very interesting, now Matthew changes the topic a little bit. He leaves the ladies aside. He will return to them a little bit later. But now he describes few men. They are also going. And they are going also to Jerusalem. And look what is happening. Now, while they were on their way, verse 11. Some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping, asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews, and it is to this day. You know, money seals our vision. There are two groups of people. One group is represented by these two ladies. They are running to bring the good news. Not only that the Savior is risen, but also that the Savior still loves them, forgives them, and calls them my brothers and my sisters. They have this message, and they are running to do it, to bring it. And there is another group. Some men, some soldiers are walking. Walking to deceive, because money has sealed their eyes. And today, many people worship paper, unfortunately. And this paper seals our vision. And we are willing even to say things that make no sense. Because they say, go say, well, while we are asleep, the disciples came. How can you be a witness and witness what happened while you were sleeping? Now there are two groups of people. To which group would we like to belong? And then verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. Which means they believed these two ladies. And they went to the mountain. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. You know, there will be always people that will doubt, even when Christ himself appears. But I'm sure no one from you will belong to this group. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, and now listen the words of the Great Commission. In this context, Jesus is saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It's not the human power. It's not the seals on the stone that will say the final words. He said, all the power belongs to me. And because of that, he says, now go. Now he addresses every one of us, not only these two ladies. Now every one of us is addressed. Now go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Dear friends, the Lord is calling us, inviting us to be these two ladies. Now he says, go. Please go, he says, and bring the good news to my children, to my brethren, to my sisters who don't know it yet. Bring them the good news. Please go. How will we react? Will we go slowly like the guys who got a lot of money? Or will we run like these two ladies to share the good news? Run, because all authority belongs to our Lord. Because all the power on heaven and on earth belongs to Him. Because our Lord is in the business of breaking all the seals that Satan is putting on our brains and our lives. Young people, please choose the one who can break all the seals and invite Jesus to sit on a stone of your life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, today, as we have read your word, we have seen that you are alive. We have seen that the tomb is empty. We have seen that you have broken all the seals and you have put an angel on the stone. And so we invite you, Lord, please, break all the seals in our life. And make you, Lord, take the central space and place in our hearts and our brains. And at the gate of our hearts and our brains, please put an angel. And Lord, after we have seen your power, after we have seen that you have broken the seals of our life, let us run and share the good news to our kids, to our neighbors, to our friends, because all power belongs to you, and you promise to be with us till the end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen.